here. I just woke up from a nap. So
no problem.
Yeah. You ever fall asleep when you wake up and you got that moisture in your beard because you was drooling?
Yeah, that's the worst.
Oh, I love it though. Shit. I was tired. If you hear a lot of screaming in the background, that's my daughter right now.
All right.
Bro, you got to stop sending me shit first thing in the morning, too, because I swear to God, when you sent me that James Harden shit, I almost typed please, nigga, in my work Slack channel. I lost all situational awareness and shit. Woo, my ass was sweating and shit. We got to talk about this Harden shit. Let's just get it out of the way. We'll talk about it later with Justin and shit, but I'll let you get the floor since you sent me multiple texts this morning about how I gaslit you for the last.
Yeah, you flipped it up on me, man. I'll be listening to you. You think I don't be listening, but I really be reading and listening and paying attention to what you be talking about. And so earlier in the year, when we knew this was coming this summer, we knew like the writing was on the wall. You know what I'm saying? And so earlier this year, it was, you know, James want to get that 30 and it's only going to take one GM, one front office to do it. I said, you know, at the time I was a little skeptical, but you convinced me. I said, you know what? Fuck it. You right. It's 30 fucking NBA teams. And how many good front offices? Like maybe 15, maybe 10 if we're being very, very generous. It's always one fool that's going to do it. So this offseason coming up, then you flipped it up to like, He's an MLE guy. He's going to, like, after this contract, he's basically done in the league. Like, he'll be getting that 11 and a half, 12 million. No one's giving him a long-term deal. No one's giving him over that MLE. To which I'm like, that's the fan talking. That's Dominic fan talking.
Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something.
Yeah. All right, Stephen A.
I'm saying though, like the life come at you fast as fuck though. I did not, the NBA landscape changed pretty quickly this summer. You know what I mean? Like the impact of that new CBA, these Supermax contracts, all the shit coming. Like ain't no way in the world I thought Fred VanVleet was going to get $40 million for three straight years. You know what I'm saying? I thought he was going to get 25 million.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And no way, you know, I like Dylan Brooks. Right. I did not think he was going to get $20 million a year, even if though it's the Houston Rockets and shit. But it tells you about age, the way they looking at money, spreading out long term. And then you see his dumb ass in China and shit. First of all, ridiculous.
Go ahead. It's Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, which made me go, oh, shit, James Harden going to get the money. Because before that, I was like, man, right now you can only pay for two stars. Then you don't got no money left, basically, unless you drafted a guy. But then these motherfuckers went out and gave Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks the bag. And I was like, now, see, that's going to fuck up people. People like Harden, they going to look at that and be like, well, if you giving it to him, now his agent got to do agent got to do. You know
First
what I'm saying?
Of all, like, you ain't got an agent if he come on podcast with them big ass headphones he had on in that video. how you an agent for a $1 billion player and you got on some fucking Target headphones and shit?
so like his agent is gonna definitely be out there looking for that deal. I don't think it's gonna be obviously like no 5-year deal or no shit, but I think somebody gonna fucking give him like $20 to $30 million a year for 2 to 3 years, probably a team option on the third year or something, because motherfuckers are doing that shit and it's so fucking stupid. It's not a do I think it's a good move. I think it's a bad move. Definitely.
I'll give you that shit. I read some shit from Hollinger in The Athletic today, and I think he summed it up on some dope shit too, when he was like, this might be the end of player empowerment. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, because with that new CBA, everything going on, I mean, right now you got two Hall of Famers that want trade and don't nobody fucking want them. Harden sitting out there, Lillard, Dame sitting out there, he's super fucked up. You know what I mean? So, and then also that says bad representation because they could have just been free agents.
The thing for both of them, the thing for both of them that's funny to me, Dame and James Harden, both of them actually can get traded if they don't put out there that they want to be traded. Like, both of them would have had an easier time moving if they just would have said, look, I'm going to show up like I want to work. Daryl, I want out of here now. You didn't give me my money. And you know I don't, but I'm going to be a professional about this shit, but I expect to be the fuck out of here by trade deadline. Same thing for Dame. But once you start making demands in this new CBA, it ain't hitting the same. Because before you could be like, hey, I want to go somewhere. Everybody start putting up their, you know, here's three first round draft picks. Here's all our rookies we just drafted. Here's our fucking like middling star player. They can't do that anymore. The teams that tried it before this CBA, like Phoenix, look at them. They're bereft of talent now. It's just motherfucking Ayton, KD, and Book. And they ain't got no fucking point guard. They just going to go out there and try to shoot you out the game.
I think
they're going to
run Bill or Book at point. Actually, I like Book at point guard. I think Book at point guard in a league that really don't got positions anymore, he can kill. Bill, I don't get it. I don't get that trio. If he gets hurt, now you even thinner than you what you
I don't
are.
I'm going to be real, dog. I don't trust Book at point. I feel like it's that thing that happens where if you got to play point, like if a nigga play point for 10 minutes in a game, in a playoff game, and you like, oh, okay, that's a dope skill to have in your bag. When we talking about 82 games playing point, I don't think Book got that. Like, I think he got that.
Interesting.
I think he got that, like, It's a nice skill to have type of shit. But it's like when, you know, you could play Magic at center. It's like, yeah, that's cool, but you're not finna do, like, you'll be dumb to keep doing that shit. And everyone that gives them props for that are also just ignoring the fact that, one, they got washed by Denver.
Super washed.
Because you still got to check the point guard, dog. Like, you know, you can't hide on defense when you fucking running point because they don't have another nigga that could check the point. So, Book versus the good point guard is going to be a whole different story than that, you know, that shit he was trying to pull off in Denver. No disrespect. I respect, you know, his game, but I think people, they yada, yada, yada in over this shit. But back to Harden. I got to say, though, this shit he did in China was one of the most masterful four-dimensional chess moves I've ever seen in my life. It's one of the things where
it is the greatest real nigga shit I've ever seen in
my
entire life.
I can't believe he did it. Yeah, I didn't even know he had that in him, Dom. Like, I knew he would do the, like, I'm going to quit on the team. I'm going to put on some weight. I knew he would do that. And I never really respected that, to be honest. I always thought that was a bitch move, but whatever, you know, people, whatever it takes to get out, I guess. But man, this nigga went to China and talked shit on Daryl Morey. That's a home game. You know what I'm saying? They hate him there.
Bomani said it. Man, that man knew his audience, boy. Shout out to Tim Miller. He read the room like a motherfucker.
And it didn't even really seem like it had nothing to do with what he was there for. Like, I guess somebody asked him a question about it or something going back to this. And he just went to he pulled a Kanye on SNL. You know, George Bush does not care about black people. Like,
was
bro, what
SNL
you doing?
Or the Grammys or some shit? Yeah, whatever, like, it was, it's still fucking hell. Yeah, and Maury is public enemy number one because he said some shit like free Hong Kong and shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So you know, like, he knew he that was in the chamber.
Dog.
You know what I'm saying?
He got on the plane knowing he was gonna say that.
He missed a bunch of shots in Game 7, but that did not miss a shot in China.
He hit that one. He hit that one. And that's why I'm like, obviously, if you're Daryl Morey, you can't say I'm going to trade him. Like, because then you look like a complete bitch. You got to say, we keeping him. I expect him to be on there. But in real life, behind the scenes, he has to be, like, fielding some offers or some shit. He can't stay there. And the reason I wouldn't want him to stay there if I was a Sixers fan, I just think he's going to poison the well. It ain't like, at this point, I feel like Joel is on, like, he looking at the team like, what y'all going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, because he's at that, he done won MVP. You know what I'm saying? He done lived through the Ben Simmons experience, the Doc Rivers experiment. Like, at this point, he like, bruh, I need y'all to help me and get this shit together. I don't think he's on some like, well, because James said that I'm leaving. I think he's on some like, if y'all can't get this shit under control, y'all can get me out of here too. But
I'll concede that point to a bit, but I'll take the point that you just made before that about Ben Simmons. They've been to here before. They love that motherfucker. They got on a plane. The best players on the team and was like, dog, we could fix this. Like, what's the deal? You know what I mean? And Ben was like, nah. In this one, I kind of just, I also think too, that being the MVP now changes things. You know what I mean? Where if he wouldn't have won MVP, he's not as attached to the city. We didn't go through that process with him, things like that. He's in on every decision. The Mac, like y'all were, we was talking in the chat and was like, and people have been, atting me on Twitter and shit. I must be sad. Nah, I would be sad if Tyrese Maxey comes out and be like, nah, y'all not, I'm not, I don't trust y'all because y'all not going to give me my money. I done seen fucking my man, Anthony Edwards sign people in my draft class. They'd already got their extensions. Mm. If something come out of his mouth, then I'm going to start being the meme with the little dog and shit and the fire all around me. Like,
this is fine.
This is fine. You know what I'm saying?
See, for me, what I'm thinking on a human level for Joel is it's cumulative, right?
Okay.
Like, he's been in the league, what, almost 10 years now? Something like that. And so, in addition to the, like, injuries that he, you know, came through, in addition to, you know, the coaching changes, the process, quote unquote, Ben Simmons, now James Harden, I could see him being like, I'm just tired. I want to go somewhere where it's no drama like this. Not necessarily on some like, trade me because I'm, you know, I'm mad at y'all, but just on some like, man, am I cursed? Every year it's just some shit and it's not me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like I'm the most consistent motherfucker on the team. And I know he looking at his peers like,
well,
you know,
well, let's hold back on the consistency because consistency is always also being on the fucking court in the playoffs for the entire right. series, which you have never done. You know what right. I'm saying? And I think that's where that comes in. I think he's a little thin-skinned as well. You know right. what I mean? The reason why they love him is because he's sensitive and emotional right. and shit. That, you know what I mean? And I think that stigma of, yeah, you the MVP and then you ran. I don't think he's that type of dude that can live up to that kind of scrutiny.
He took Philly out of his Instagram location, and that's that passive aggressive millennial shit that mean I'm mad at y'all and I want out of here. PJ Washington did that because he chose to become a restricted free agent in Charlotte, and he was shopping his wares. Everybody's like, man, get the fuck out of here, because he wanted 20 mil. And I'm not saying he can't feel like he's worth 20 mil, but if nobody's paying it, that's the market. Like, then you not a 20 mil nigga. That's what it is.
But in saying that, that's the same thing I'm telling you that happened to Harden. And we said, Fred got the bag. Brooks got the bag. So he's like, shit, I'm 3 years removed from averaging 30 points a game. I'm going to definitely get the bag. And then your track history, your age, your performance, the way you come. And I give him credit because we talked one during the playoffs and shit. You know what I mean? I don't put the playoff loss on him. Yeah, I saw Scott Van Pelt. He went in on him and shit. And he was like, you disappear game six and same seven. Yes, he did. And that's his MO. Right. But I will say motherfucker put down 70 in two games that we should have won. If Joel's on the floor and can play, Joel scores 16 points in a game seven. That's your MVP. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's all those.
So, the thing is, though, because I don't want to get lost in the sauce. The thing is, PJ doing that shit and not being nobody. Like, PJ ain't nobody to be doing that shit. Like, people noticed it, but, like, wasn't nobody feeling. Like, nobody was sitting around, like, shook, like, oh, shit. For him to, that entitlement, you know, to do that shit, that's just how these new niggas get down. And so, Joel choosing to do that shit right now is the most, like, oh, so this nigga watching. And he fitting to try to add to the pot. And I like, that's the last thing y'all need. But the thing with Harden, I agree that the market's not going to be there for that deal he had before he gave that money back. That's crazy.
He could have signed a max extension with the Nets. This is the biggest fumble of a bag since Schroeder fucked up that fumble with the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? And you can't get it back. It's that precedent of like, when they tell you like, these young motherfuckers like Gen Z, they got it on lock. That's why they bounce from job to job, because as long as my salary keep going up, that's all the fuck I care. But once you're like, I'm an old motherfucker now. I'm going to be 45 next month. Yeah. You know what I mean? I know that once your salary start going the other way.
Yeah.
That's a slippery and ass slope.
The thing for me, though, is, like I said, it's the group chat, man. It's just, it be hyperbole or something, because I'm like, MLE to me is, it's too soon to say he's a who's the nigga that got MLE this? What's my nigga from the Celtics that went to Mavericks? That nigga.
Grant Williams.
Yeah. Like, he ain't a Grant Williams. Like, people in the league still think he better than that. So it's, someone's gonna give him something. I don't think they should, by the way. I think whoever does it, I'm gonna be like, that was probably a bad move. And Philly's gonna end up coming up off of that. If it's like, because I've heard the Clippers as a destiny. I'm just like, why do y'all think adding him to Kawhi and Paul George, three niggas that stay either hurt or disappearing in big games? Why do you think that's a combination? But all it takes is one motherfucker to believe that shit, and now he's going to be making that bread. So I do expect him to get paid and to not be on Philly's team next season. I just think it won't ultimately matter.
So you think
matter.
He can get to a contender is going to pick him up at 30 mil and then re-sign him next
year?
I
don't think it'll be a contender. I guess it depends on what people believe. I don't think – but I've never thought it was about being a contender for James. I always thought it was the bag. Like, he's the one that lied with that bullshit. And I called him on the bullshit because he was the one like, I just want to compete. I just want to go to a contender. I said, then why did you say Houston? Why your people leak Houston? Houston's the furthest team in the NBA from being a contender. So I know what you really want is the bag. You just know it looks bad to say, I'm just trying to get paid, go to strip club, and chill with my homies. So he not going to ever say the truth. But I think one team, it could be fucking Orlando. It could be fucking some Detroit. It's going to be some motherfucker that's like, some dumb motherfucker that's like, you know what, if we'll fix these young guys, we get James Harden. Here. And I'm going to be laughing.
That would be the worst GM of all time, because
that's how Philly's gonna make out in this. I think it's gonna be a dummy. I don't think it's gonna be like a savvy, you know, look, we just want an expiring contract, we're not gonna re-sign them. It's gonna be somebody that believes. And the best, just like Ben Simmons, the best fucking thing he can do, and the best thing for Philly, is show his ass up and ball out for like a month. He could do it. Like, we've seen how he stacked.
KD did it. KD called Sean Marks a bitch ass and then went and dropped 29 a game.
He's elite enough. He's like, he's 35, but he's not done. He's elite enough to put up the offensive stats that make motherfuckers be like, maybe shit. Last year, people were saying, is he the best point guard in the league? Now, nigga, you know he not the best point guard in the league, but the numbers was looking good for like 2-3 months.
That pick and roll combination with him and Embiid is still, it's a nice ass combination. You know what I mean? But here's the problem. You get on the court and you look like you got the fat suit on, or you doing any of that shit, dog. Like you done. Like, I think this man
becomes untradeable if he does that. I don't think he will, because just, I think he put himself in a corner with this China shit. To where he thought it was going to be like, now Daryl Morey either getting fired or he got to trade me. And I think what he really did was make the whole league be like, we finna watch to see if you still want to play ball. And then
that's
we'll
my
decide.
Point. And I think it's too many variables. Like I said, it might be one dummy, but there's 32 teams in the league. So only, again, one dummy out there. You better hope that ain't great percentage. That ain't great odds.
If don't happen, worse don't happen in the past, dog. And here's the other thing, too. The reason I think it has to be he shows up looking good and ready to go, or he don't show up at all. Those are his only real choices. Because if he show up in the fat suit, it's over. But if he shows up looking good, I feel like that's the other way you keep Joel Embiid from whooping your ass. Cause like, he can't show up in that fat suit looking like he's dogging it, man. I don't think Joel, he's not fucking around no more.
No, none of them. None of them. If he does that, they'll send him home immediately and then try to get money from him. It's going to get nasty. It's going to.
Yeah.
But they've been through that.
Yeah, that's the one benefit they do have of going through Ben Simmons is I don't think they would hesitate to go to full like. Nah, we not going through months of begging your ass. It's just over. Like,
no, you got a new coach. You trying. Yeah. And then guess what, dog? Maxie can go right in your slot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a the thing is, Philadelphia fans don't really give a fuck about. I love him as a fit on the court and as a realist. Like, if you better, I'm like Daryl Morey. Like, I'm not giving his ass away just to get back fucking Robert Covington with his little chicken legs and shit. Get the fuck. I'm not doing that.
Here's my thing about Daryl Morey, though, because I like Daryl Morey, too. I do agree with everybody that points out the obvious that because he doesn't care about how personalities mesh, he ends up with some bad fits on teams, like personality wise. I don't know how you fix that, because if you a nigga that don't care, I don't know why he gonna start caring. But to me, that it seemed like when his teams fuck up, they implode. It don't be like, oh yeah, we fucked up, we just reload, get a new nigga. It's always like, fuck this nigga. It's like, damn. So the thing with Daryl Morey, I think he might end up losing his job behind this, not now, but like in a year or two, just because you need him there to steer the ship to get these people off the roster. Like, it's just, it is what it is. But if anything goes wrong to the point where like they trade James Harden and don't immediately keep the same momentum and stay contenders, if it's any type of reset where it's like, look, we just got the money, or we got some draft picks coming, I feel like he won't be there to cash in on them chips, because people starting to get tired. And it's, I don't know that it's his fault, it's just the narrative is starting to be,
the narrative is definitely building. I will I'll kick the ball down the road a little bit and be like, kick the can down the road and just be like, because if they let Harden go, they let Harris go, and they can still let Harris go, Tobias, right, who, again, gets some Mr. Crumble cookies.
Yeah, you don't fuck with him.
I don't fuck with him, I'm going to be honest. But I could fuck with him at $20 million a year, but I definitely don't fuck with him at $40 million a year.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? But they'll realistically have $58 million, I think it is, and then they can re-sign Maxie, and you don't touch that fucking money. So you still have that money for a max free agent and then somebody else.
Right.
But if you don't get a person in the beginning of 2024,
right,
you know what I mean? You gone. Now,
because this is the other thing. The clock is ticking on Joel. Joel don't want to hear. Like, I feel like whatever move they make this season is also got to bring in some help now. Like, it can't be we got rid of James, but Joel, if you'll just wait one more year, because he just seemed kind of fed up. Like, and I think the other thing that happened to Joel this year, and this is the curse of the MVP. Same thing happened to Joker. Same thing happened, was about to happen to Giannis. Whenever you win that motherfucking MVP, people start treating you different. Like, instead of rooting for you and being like, look at this guy, we need to give him his respect, they start turning into that, well, he ain't got no rings. So your success becomes an albatross. And I think Joel's he's right on the precipice of that. Like, next season will be his first season of like, he is the problem because he ain't winning, because people get so fucking unreasonable.
I'm not saying that narrative online is starting to pick already up steam a little bit already. And then you got the juxtaposition of Jokic not winning the MVP, but winning the finals.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you got this motherfucker. So, yeah, there's a lot of...
And like, Joel earned that MVP. Like, he was the MVP. People got to, like, go back and act like it was some travesty or miscarriage of justice. Like, nah, Joel was the MVP to me.
Of the regular season.
Yeah, the regular season. Obviously got hurt in the playoffs. I mean, ain't shit you... If Joker got hurt in the playoffs, it wouldn't be shit you could do about it. But the thing for me, though, is, like... People aren't rational about it. It's not going to be look at all the shit he got to deal with. Of course, they not going to win a ring next year. Nah, it's going to be, you the MVP. So you telling me you need James Harden to save you? And it's going to get real fucking stupid. And Joel has a little bit of rabbit ears. And yes, I worry about his sensitivity being on some like, let me get out of here. He's, to me, one of the things I respect about Joel is he never ducked. You know, like he just, if it's on him, it's on him. If he's hurt, he's hurt. If it, like, if he, he'll go out there and play on a, you can obviously tell he's fucked up. He'll go out there and play anyway when he probably shouldn't. But he'll go out there and play and try to tough it out. And like, he had some gutsy performances last season in the playoffs after he got hurt, where I was like, oh, he's, the shit he did in Boston, I was like, bro, I can't even believe you're out here. So he should be getting a lot more respect, but I think it's about to turn on his ass and they're going to blame him for this James Harden shit.
Speaking of another motherfucker I turned on, PJ Tucker, you can get the fuck out of Philly. How are you talking? And you score, he's a starter that sometimes scores 0 points.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get this shit. Like,
what did he say? What did he say? Something?
I mean, it basically was like, I'm not going to flip on my boy and shit like that. And I don't do. And but and then you just like,
he's talking about who? James Harden?
James Harden. Yeah. Because I guess in the theory of that Harden gave up money last year. And that's the reason why he came over to Philly and shit like that. But I'm like, you could be gone. Don't nobody give a fuck about you, dog. Jason Tatum dropped 97 points on us in game 7. That's
another nigga. He been getting by on reputation for like 2 years now.
Reputation, sneaker. If this motherfucker did not have a shoe collection, no one would give a fuck about PJ Tucker.
This is the shit I'll be talking about, because I know this your man, but this is the shit I'm talking about with Dylan Brooks too. Like, it's people fall for the like bombastic shit, but then you look at the numbers and you be like, nigga, you not killing. Like, what's I wasn't bothered by Dylan Brooks being like, you know, I want off the team or whatever. Of course, sure, leave. I mean, I would want to leave Memphis too. It's a fucking shit show now. But it was him going, because I need to be the number one or two scorer on the team. It's like, well, who the fuck you think you are, Dylan
Brooks? But also, he said that shit chest naked with a black leather vest on and skinny braids. So that shit. I love that.
That's what I said though. That's PJ Tucker to me. That's the same, like, the shit we like about him, not really basketball shit. It's really like, I just like the cut of his jib. But then when he's on your team, like it's so different when you're actually have a rooting interest in him being good. It's like, I was like rooting for them dudes against Golden State at first, because I said, I want to see some young dudes. I want to see if Golden State got the like veteran savvy, and they had them on the ropes, dog. And I said, hey, these niggas different. And I like the swag on Dylan Brooks. But then when they fold and you like, well, Dylan, somebody got hit a shot. It ain't going to be him. You know what I'm saying? And in the press conference, he ain't going to do the press conference no more. And I'm like,
that was weak as fuck.
Yeah, and so to me, I was like, I know he gonna get his money. I just hope it ain't for nobody I want to see win. But PJ Tucker,
let me tell you something. Let's stay on that note too. I'm gonna say this shit right now, so you can have me on fire. The T-Wolves are on a slippery slope of being the Orlando Magic of our time. Of basically, okay, so the biggest headache, the malcontent, the motherfucker you put all the shit on, he gone. Okay, and then next year. And if Desmond Bain starts having the same issues with, like, you know what I mean, that Brooks had, and young dudes want to shine, they want to play. You can't keep them together forever. Yeah.
I think you said Minnesota, but you talking about Memphis, right?
Memphis. I'm sorry, the Grizzlies.
It's all good. I just want to make sure nobody write in and shit. But I agree, dog. And it's not just Ja Morant. It's like, you got to look around. They having some problems. Jaren Jackson not developing the way they thought he was going to develop. And all that like freak athletic defense shit is cool. But like, what you going to do when you just wide the fuck open for a three every time you come down court? Because that's what teams doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, what you going to do when you need a go-to bucket and you don't have a go-to move? You just out there trying to like run as hard as you can at the rim and catch a rebound, dog. Like, yeah, that shit between them and Ja is fucked up. And I think Dylan is, unfortunately, Dylan made himself an easy scapegoat. And it's going to work bad out. It's going to work out bad for Memphis, because they acting like they got rid of the problem. And he's not the problem. He might not be the answer. He wasn't the problem with that fucking team. So Yeah, I'm with you on that shit. And Minnesota got
your MVP was running around on IG with BB guns. I mean, come on, man. You can't tell me that don't seep into the organization, that don't seep into your teammates around you and be like, if they letting this motherfucker get away with bullshit, then I'm wearing a leather vest, chest naked, and I'm going to say some wild shit on the mic.
Desmond Bane is not him. And then on top of that shit,
little ass T-Rex arms.
He's the son
of Derek Fisher, boy.
Right. He's cute. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a nice dude to have on your team. If you just like, you know, like, oh, every once in a while he'll go off, you know, but he not a dude that you depending on. Get the fuck out of here.
How you got big baby arms?
Come on, man. What's wrong with his arms? And then the last thing about that team, I still don't know, and this ain't no shade, but I don't know how good Ja Morant really is when it comes to impact on the game, because this nigga be hurt and they still be winning, and I don't see this attributable difference in the game, and he's a chaos agent when he is playing. They don't really be running no offense, no sets. It's just him whipping and dipping and flying to the rim and shit, and I'm like, I don't know how you quantify his value. I know what it is PR wise, but just to basketball, I don't know. And that should worry these motherfuckers, because are you a contender or not? Because I can tell you what Joel bring. I can tell you what Jokic bring. I can tell you what Jason Tatum bring. Flaws and all, I can tell you what Jaylen Brown brings. I can't really tell you what it is that Ja Morant does in the game that makes him like the threat that he's supposed to be.
What if I told you DeAndre Fox is better? De'Aaron Fox.
I wouldn't disagree.
You know what I mean? That's how quick. What if I told you SGA is better?
Oh, I definitely wouldn't disagree with that.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's how easily before this season last year, you'd have him 2, 3, 4 players above them too. You know what I mean? I didn't want Fox in a trade for Ben Simmons. And now all of a sudden he got the sickest mid-range and he's the fastest dude in the NBA. And you saw what they did to Golden State. He don't have enough pieces. The Sabonis is overrated as fuck.
Right. Oh, agree.
You know what I'm saying? But that dude is the truth now. And then
SGA and them are getting
the two white boys they got, the Wagner brothers or whoever.
And they got Chet Holmgren. I think his last name is Holmgren, but they got Chet coming in.
I forget about him.
Right. That, and keep in mind, he didn't play a game last season. He's my sleeper for rookie of the year. I think, like, everybody's looking at Wimby. Wimby to me look like a newborn deer, where like he's gonna be good at some point, but I think he's gonna get tossed around a lot more than people think, and he can't shoot, which nobody seems to know because they just assume he's a Euro and he must got the, but I watched him play. He don't got no shooting ability, so it's gonna be tough for him for a while. But Chet, this nigga is ready. He's ready. I looked at the motherfucker.
There is a white boy takeover coming back into the league, where before you'd be like, if you got a white dude and you're starting five, I ain't giving you a championship.
Right. Yeah. People sleeping because of that year off. So they don't know. But the white people need Chet. He from here. You know what I'm saying? They need one. Because they don't want to claim. They don't want to claim Joker. They don't want to claim Luka, but they need something, because Chet, and I think Chet gonna come through, dog.
The only thing with Chet is, again, the body. When them big long ass motherfuckers come in the league, they don't tend to hold up very long.
But I can easily see them this year leapfrogging Memphis. It wouldn't be like
surprise me at all.
Yeah, if OKC was at 6 and Memphis was at 10 in the playoff hunt, it would make total sense to me, because I just think they already ready on the cusp of it. SGA is undeniable if you watch him play. And then you throwing Chet in there, like, that's all they needed, really.
Yep. And you got the Wagner brothers are in the Magic. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. But they got a couple other dudes.
They got the white boy with the curly hair.
That's it. And they got Lu Dort as well.
Lu Dort,
you know what I'm saying? They got a strong bench. They go like 10. They picked up my man from the Sixers, who was just at end of the bench. Doc wouldn't even put him in the game. I'm blanking on his name right now because I took a nap and I can't remember shit. But and now he's shooting 42% from three. They well coached as well. They got a plethora of picks. And they
got Jalen Williams, and they got Josh Giddey.
Yep, Giddey. Giddey is nice as fuck.
Josh Giddey's a fucking problem, dog. Like, this team, man, I can't, man, I love the NBA.
You know
I
how last wait. Year, like, this, when, if you listen at home, you got the NBA League Pass, that's a League Pass follow. You know what I mean? Those are them fun-ass young teams. And I'm telling people, this is why I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, when, I mean, it's fun to talk shit.
Yeah.
You know I mean, in the offseason and stuff. But let me tell you something. You, as a team, don't have to give a fuck about the NBA season until April now, because the play-in game has changed the fundamental landscape of the NBA and the playoffs forever.
Which is interesting, which is super interesting, because just a year or two ago, people was like, dumb idea, won't work, won't change anything. And the argument I would make is, you actually have teams giving a fuck that would give a fuck because of the plan. So you get like a team around from like 8 to probably like 14 who end up playing harder. Because like, if you notice, people didn't tank as hard. It was only a couple teams that did the real tank. Yep. San Antonio did a real tank. And then like some teams tried, but they just sorry. Like Houston, sorry. Detroit is sorry. I don't think they was tanking. They're fucking sorry. But like Charlotte, these niggas were sorry the whole year, injured the whole year, and kept fucking trying to win games. Like, I'm a Hornets fan. I'm like, bro, y'all sure about this? They say Wimby the dude, you know what I'm saying? But they did it anyway. They kept trying to win. So with Wimby as a prospect, teams still were trying to make that fucking 10th spot. So I think you'll see teams, you'll see contenders be let, they'll care less. So like a Golden State, they care less now. They like, why do we need to win 65 games? If we can just make like anywhere from 1 to 8, shit, 1 to 10, if we're being real, we feel like we can win the whole thing. And I think what you'll see is other teams, like say Atlanta, be like, we're scared because if motherfucking Golden State is in the play-in, or, you know, not Golden State, but let's say for them, Milwaukee. If Milwaukee's in the play-in and we in the play-in, we're getting fucking busted. So you're going to see like a little more competition that starts around, like you said, April, maybe, you know, maybe March, maybe after the All-Star break, you'll see teams try to like make some moves. But yeah, it's interesting that shit worked out. I was hoping it would. And I'm kind of, what do you think about this other tournament they trying to do, the end season?
The end season one, I'm going to shut the fuck up because I said the play-in was trash. So I'm going to see what it – I don't really care about the NBA until even before Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so slow. But now, who knows? And the other thing, like I said, the momentum change that now with the play-in game, who's the hottest fuck? You can legitimately say if the hottest team in the playoffs is a play-in team or fighting for those last couple, you better be ready. You better not have an injury to your star player or be limping into the playoffs and think you're the first seed and you're going to get an eighth seed and it's just a cakewalk.
LA changed everything. LA, the Heat, and then Golden State tried to make some noise too. Like, it's like motherfuckers was scary. Like, you know, it was a lot of like, it did what it's supposed to do. It made you feel like any of these motherfuckers could win this shit. And I think that's where the CBA is actually winning. I know some of the players might not like the shit because you can't just demand to play with your best friends and shit no more. But like that CBA kind of worked, man. Nobody want to give it credit, but the league is way more flat than it was. Like the difference between the best team in the league and the fucking like 10th team in the league.
Oh, that NFL parity move. They looked at Goodell in the NFL and was like, what the fuck can we do? How do we get a team and they make the playoffs and then make the Super Bowl the next fucking year? You know what I'm saying?
Because like in the NFL, it's all about matchups when you get to the playoffs. And for the NBA, it's never been like that. NBA has always been like, whoever got the best team gonna win. This the first time that I've really been like, it's the matchup, because you can't tell me Boston's not a better team than Miami. Like if you were to, in the regular season, just play 82 games, Boston roster should come out with a better result than he did. But it didn't fucking matter when it came to them seven games. It was like, y'all ain't got the right matchups. We finna eat y'all ass up. And they did. And I love that, because you just don't see that often in the NBA, you know? Not you see, like, I remember on like one hand all the times that's happened before.
Yeah, like when the Mutombo Nuggets beat what was it, Golden State? No, or Utah?
I think it might have been Utah. And then you had, and of course, you had Golden State did that shit to Dallas with Dirk.
Yep.
Like, it's just not, it's never been a lot of these. It's always been like, oh yeah, Houston did it. You know, this last season, it was like three or four of those. You know what I'm saying?
And this is perfect for the young cats in the league. You know what I mean? Because like you said, when you be tanking, like, it used to be you the first seed, so you're going to rest some veteran players. You're going to massage the schedule. Like, you know what they did? And here's why I think they did that shit. Mm. This is why I think the owners did that shit with the playing game, because they, and this is a fault of teams and star players, this resting shit, this you sit, okay, give up them games. Give up them games because you're going to rest LeBron or someone. And now these young cats, they don't give a fuck. They 21. They're going to play all 82 games. Exactly. They don't got to rest nobody.
They still hungry and they chasing records. And they like, the what's really going to fuck them up is this new, like, you need to play 65 games to get these awards. That's going to fuck some of these dudes up, because that low management shit is people. It's a conflict of interest, because people are saying it's the teams making the players do it. And I hear that. I'm not going to debate it in that way. What I will say is this. The niggas who don't want to do it, don't do it. So you can put it on the team if you want to, but it's certain niggas in the league that Jason Tatum told Boston, don't sit me. I don't really give a fuck who we playing. And the other reason that I think it's on the players to stop that shit, bro, don't you want a legacy?
That
legacies
part.
Is built by this shit. Like, how you think LeBron got them records? By being like, I guess I'm gonna rest every other night? No, he was out there chipping away every fucking night. And with the way they let niggas score now, one of these niggas could potentially be, you know, 15, 20 years away from, oh, we didn't see it coming. He's the all-time leading scorer. Because niggas is getting buckets these days. I wish a motherfucking coach would tell me, we going to sit you 20, 30 games this season. So, nigga, I need my money. Because y'all, when it's contract time, guess what y'all going to say? You didn't play 30 games, so I don't know why you're trying to get all this money.
You didn't make All-NBA. You didn't. Right. You know what I mean? All these things that are tied to your supermax clauses and escalator clauses in your fucking contract.
How many niggas are better than Jaylen Brown and looked at his bag this summer and said, nah, y'all not finna sit me?
No, sir. No, bruh. Bruh, how you give $60 million to a dude with no handles who be dribbling the ball off his foot? I'm not saying he not nice.
Right.
But I'm not, he ain't. 60
But say you SGA, and they like, nah, we getting into the playoffs. We need to rest you a little. Nah, are you out of your fucking mind? I'm going to make $400 million. Like, if this nigga getting 360, give me 400 or whatever the fuck you got. Like, you out of your goddamn mind? I know I'm nicer than him. Shit, Jason Tatum on the same team. He probably look at this nigga every day. Like, I know you not making more than me.
Oh, he won't next year, because he's going to sign that super max and be over $300 million. This is my only worry about my favorite sport, is that these salaries may get close to baseball crazy salaries. Or they're, it's not maybe, they are. And then that backlash comes. You got a dude making $70 million averaging 22 points a game.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Down the road. So it's a slippery slope.
I'm waiting to see what's going to happen to the CBA when the players start fighting with the players. Because right now, it's, you know, they are able to unite against the owners. And that's worked out really well for, like, the highest paid players in the league. But at some point, these niggas that be getting the MLE when they should feel like they should be getting 20, like a PJ Washington. He, like, if I'm him, I'm like, next CBA, I'm like, hey, man, we got to do something. Because, like, they told me wasn't no money left for me, And then they gave this nigga $60 million. Now, the way I see it, this nigga ain't no $60 million player, and I'm definitely not no MLE nigga. So figure that shit out. You know what I mean?
When the vets, the OGs, now you got a young, he making 70, 80, 90. Bruh. Yeah, let's just throw crazy numbers out. Bruh. But you a vet with some rings and championship experience, and you getting 10. You know what I mean? You getting lower than them. You getting MLE or veterans minimum.
Bruh, like, they re-signed LaMelo so fast this season. Like, it was no questions asked. Meaning, when he's up for his real money, because this deal ain't even, this the rookie extension. When he's up for his real money, they're going to throw the entire bank at him. Y'all just told PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, whoever else, hey, man, we don't know about that. Won't know.
Well, the LA Police Department told Miles Bridges. Yeah. Why?
But you know, but you see what I'm saying? Like, them niggas are gonna take it personal. They not gonna be like reasonable. Like Miles Bridges not gonna sit around and be like, yeah, I did kind of do this to myself. No, he's gonna take the minimum deal. And the second he can get off this fucking team and get a paycheck, he's gone. You know what I mean? And he's gonna be unrestricted. He not gonna be like, I guess if they say I'm only worth $18 million, nah, he's going to fucking leave. And that's when it's going to get interesting, you know, because I want to see what happens with those dudes versus like a James Harden versus like a LaMelo versus, you know, SGA. Because, man, like, this CBA might not be what they think it's going to be if it turns out that there's no middle class NBA player anymore. You either a star or a scrub.
Yeah, this reminds me of basketball that we grew up on. I think we're barreling to that time frame of you got a superstar, maybe a superstar wingman, and then you got Jordan and Pippen playing with Cliff Livingston. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? Your key players are like a veteran men guy, a low level, and that a guy who is just a mid player, like a Malcolm Brogdon type player, is going to be a huge game changer, because I don't think there's going to be tons of movement in the NBA after the next after the 2024 season. I don't think you're going to see dudes get traded as much as we saw in the last 5 to 7 years move from team to team. So yeah, you're going to be in a team for, you know what I mean? 5 to 7 years.
This offseason was weird to me. You know, because they knew it wasn't a lot of players that could be moved, because it wasn't a lot of free agents that was up. But then you would have thought that would have made the people that was free agents more valuable than they were. You would have thought like Grant Williams would have somehow got into like the $20 million range or something, because it's just a bunch of teams competing for a handful of guys. And it didn't work like that at all. This nigga got the MLE, and I know he ain't think that was the ceiling for him, but I think he got like $1 million above the MLE. Like it wasn't what he thought was gonna happen. PJ ain't getting signed. Kelly Oubre ain't getting signed. Like
Oubre's I thought he would be a wing that people would pick up on a nice little deal or whatever. Mm-mm. He looking at the veteran men, the MLE. Bruh, maybe Christian Wood, another young player. He got the bag the year before. Yep. Back on the market, nobody picking them
nobody
up.
Nobody want them. And it's all that, like, because they think, and I get it, if I was their agent, I'd say the same shit, but they think they worth, like, $20 million because they looking at who getting $20 million. And they're like, this nigga getting $20 million, it's like, yeah, but this ain't the year for you. You know, you're going to have to take the minimum and bet on yourself again and hope you come out on the other side and hope they got money next season. I heard a lot of teams planning on having a lot of money next season, but
you got to now. You have to have at least $50 million to sign a star player now.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy ass. Like, I'm with Rick Barry. I stand with that old ass white man. Like, how the fuck did you give this guy $60 million? Yeah. I saw Jaylen Brown implode against the Miami Heat.
Here's the thing. I never thought he wouldn't get his money, but I always thought it's going to be the contract you regret. Like, it'll be the joke contract.
Oh, he's the poster child now. It will never change from this. He's the poster. If he doesn't, he scored what, 26 points a game last year or whatever.
Yeah.
If he's not a consistent 30 point player a year, almost, if they're not that 1-2 dynamic duo, he struggles.
It's worse than that. He could do everything he said last year. He could do every fucking thing that he did to get the money, and he get up there and can't go left in the playoffs. It's coming. The world's coming down on his ass.
They're gonna be saying the N-word in Boston.
Yeah, yeah. Cause keep in mind, like, this, he's at that plateau where you can't do anything but win a championship to impress us. Like, he's stuck. I don't mean I get it. I take the money too, but bro, none of us are gonna be impressed with anything you do except win a ring. That we waiting, we just all gonna be waiting on you to get to the playoffs and see can you not have fucking 8 turnovers in a game, bro. And that's a hell of a place to be when you making 60 mil, dude, because it's gonna turn into, that's why they shouldn't have gave you that motherfucking money.
Yep. You stuck. The team stuck. Tatum stuck. You ain't gonna be able to. How the hell you gonna match up salaries to move a dude making 60 million a year?
Right. You can't even trade them. Like, they honestly got to be hoping that other niggas start getting 60 million. That's what Boston got to hope, that next offseason, everybody getting them Jalen contracts so they can start moving them. Because right now he immovable, dog.
Speaking of immovable, is Jokic the best player in the NBA? I say yes.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I don't think it's close either.
Yeah, I don't think it's close.
I don't. I mean, I'm an Embiid fan. Don't get me wrong. He can put points up, plays both ways defensively. But what Jokic can do there's other than LeBron,
yeah,
in my opinion, there's nobody else in the NBA that can control a basketball game.
Here's what Jokic is. And this came up on our podcast like yesterday, and it really sank home for me. Were you an Eminem fan at all during his heyday?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay, I was too, right? So it's two types of niggas. It's niggas that listen to Eminem, and by listening to Eminem, you learn to respect and understand how talented he is. And then there's a whole other crop of niggas that never listen to Eminem, and they think he only getting by on being white, right?
Yep. And they like Mac Miller.
Yeah, and they love Mac Miller because he's dead. This is how Jokic is to me. He is Eminem in his prime, where you think it's just like, oh, y'all overrating him because he a big white dude. It's like, no, nigga, I watch so much basketball, more than you, and I never miss this nigga's games because it's fucking stupid the way he can control a game, and it don't look right. It's Eminem, you know. It's Eminem up there with fucking Death Row and shit. And he look weird and white, and you like, nah, it's no way this nigga the best rapper on the stage. And he absolutely is.
And then
night.
They dog start singing Until I Collapse beat right. drops in the background, and you just like, oh, you in
right.
awe. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
It's like, put it like this. We both just said Joel was the MVP last season. But when it was him versus Jokic, I wasn't going like, yeah, Joel finna get off tonight. I was like, man, I just hope he able to put up a line that can compete with what Jokic about to do, because it's going to be a long night, dude. It's a long night every time you see this man. So, yeah, I think he's the best. I don't think it's close. And what's going to fuck? I think it's easy for them three-peat, but I think the thing that could fuck them up is just injuries.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yep.
Michael Porter Jr.'s back cannot be trusted. Neither can his vaccination record. And I love Murray. Jamal Murray, one of my like favorite players to watch in the league.
Who's the closest person to Jamal Murray with us growing up who isn't a bona fide superstar, all-star, but come playoffs is just a supreme bag getter, just Mr. Clutch. Is he Reggie Miller? Or is Reggie Miller way above
Reggie.
Him? Reggie Miller. I apologize.
I'm also the wrong person to ask about Reggie. I thought he was overrated during his career.
Ooh.
Okay. I think
Reggie also played with a badass white boy in Rick Smith's.
Hey, I'm not saying he wasn't good, but it was like, he got to a point at one point, especially when he was about to retire, where they was talking about him like he was Jordan. I'm like, bro, he was never him. He was like, he beat the Knicks, nigga. Like,
yeah,
everybody,
you take
calm
away
down.
The Knicks series, you take away a lot of his legacy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, he was good. You know what I'm saying? They built a team around him. The Pacers had that one season with him and Jalen Rose that was real, like, okay. But man, it wasn't the same. Cause like with all them threes and shit, he used to have them playoff games where he do like a 3 for 18. And oh, his whole thing was, I never stop shooting. I'm never afraid to stop. And I'm like, well, then it's on you.
I love that's how that love works. Those Pacers teams. I used to love those Pacers teams on NBA Live.
Yeah.
When they had the Davis brothers and shit as well.
Me too.
Then they, who else was on that fucking team?
It was Smith, Davis, the other Davis, Mark Jackson, I think, was on that team.
Yes,
Jalen Rose was on that team.
Who's the coach that was on that team? Was Nate McMillan on that team? No, he was on the Sonics.
Yeah.
Detlef Schrempf was on that team.
Was on that team. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they had a stick, dog. They had a stick. Like, but that was another reason I used to think Reggie was a little overrated. I was like, nigga, the team good though. Like, this ain't a he just
Derek
dragging
McKee.
Some bums.
They had Derek McKee on
Derek
that
McKee.
Team.
Yes.
They had Anthony, what the fuck? Haywood Workman was on that team.
Yes, Haywood Workman was. Yes, he was. Great defender.
Oh, bro, that was a squad right there.
But I would say the closest to Jamal Murray is probably for me going to be like, what was I? Fuck, I had it a second.
A 30-point bucket getter in the playoffs. Running with Jokic. I can't put my finger on. He's a weird player to put. He's going to end up a Hall of Famer, but you don't consider him that right now. I don't.
Yeah, he's like a Vinny the Microwave.
Is he Joe Dumars? No, is he Joe Dumars? Or am I downplaying Joe Dumars?
Joe's defense was different.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Joe, I keep forgetting.
Yeah, but maybe we don't have I know who I was going to say. Kevin Johnson. That's who he reminds. Like, remember how KJ was like that dude if you love the NBA. But if you don't really love the NBA, it just kind of was like, oh yeah, he was a point guard. It's like, nah, he was a point guard that had a high ceiling where like he could take over in a playoff game and you'd be like, yeah. And it was never like his team. Like, it wasn't like he took over and we forgot that Charles Barkley was on the team. You always knew it was Charles's team, but KJ would take over and you'd be like, oh, they not losing tonight.
See, KJ reminds me of Tony Parker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see that.
That will be
too,
my,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That will be my comparison.
Yeah, like their game, to me, Murray and KJ's games aren't the same. It's just the like explosiveness of like, he could give you 30 any
and a baseline
fucking night.
Dunk on Akeem. You know?
Bruh, I was rooting for them that year. Bruh, I was rooting for them that year.
The Sixers are in the same position. I remember them trading Charles Barkley for Tim Perry, Andrew Lang, and Jeff Hornacek. Dog, you don't want to know how my heart broke. And I rooted for the Suns for like a couple of years after that because Barkley is my dude.
Mine too. He was my favorite player, dude. Even when Jordan was in the league, Barkley was my fave.
Barkley, Grant Hill. That's my 1-2 dudes.
Grant went to Duke, so I never wanted to give him his respect, even though you couldn't. You could not. Like, if he wouldn't have got that surgery, dog, we're talking about him like we talk about LeBron, Mike. Like, we're talking about him because he was a walking triple-double, one rookie of the year, the same, like, co-rookie of the year with Jason Kidd because they was both getting triple-doubles like that.
Wear Fila's. Do you know your impact? Yes. You know what I'm saying? When you got one of the worst shoes and now it's the shoe. Like, I remember in the 9th, 10th, nobody was rocking Jordans.
Yeah.
You wanted to get AI shit and you wanted to get, well, that was after the fact, but Grant Hill shit was the shoe.
Well, the other thing too about Grant Hill too is like, you rock those Fila's and then you got that major fucking foot injury. And that shit hurt Fila down the stretch, dog.
Yes, it did.
It's like, damn, like they almost had one, dog. If he would have been healthy his whole career, we might be rocking Fila's the way we rock these Nikes, dog.
But I think Nike would have gave him the mega bag. They would have did they did to Kobe.
You ever watch like on like sometimes they do it on Facebook, sometimes they do it on YouTube. Those like highlight clips where it's just like, here's all of Grant Hill's highlights. Mm-hmm. Man, I watched one of them shits like a couple months ago. Boy, it took me all the way. I said, man, this nigga was supposed to be him.
Bruh, the change of direction, the balance, the scoring, 3-point shot, the handle, six
the
at
dunks.
Bruh.
He used to dunk on people so easy, man. Like, we just, it's like we all forgot about the shit because, like, he got hurt and then it just became a struggle for him to even play. But, like, that's another thing. Even after he had the fucked up surgeries and his foot was all fucked up. he still used to go out there and get buckets on a fucked up leg. Like, man, he was different, dog. But yeah, I think Murray to me is somewhere around like KJ, Rod Strickland.
Another pretty name.
Yeah, you know, the niggas that could get buckets where we all ended up respecting them because they could get buckets, but we didn't really respect them because we don't ever bring up their names for like the Steve all-time greats. Yeah, exactly. Like, we respect Steve Smith, but we don't.
That's Allen who Houston, the fucking, you know, Memphis Grizzlies remind me of. The Rasheed Wallace Blazers. The ones that got Pippen and shit. These motherfuckers going. When they got Bonzi Wells, they got Steve Smith. You know what I mean? They could not get over the hump, and it was over. You know what I mean?
I still remember because I was a Kobe fan, so I still remember they beat them. They beat them Jailblazers, dog. And bruh, I was running around my fucking house, dog. I was so
heartbroken. I thought that was it. And if they would have won too, they could have built. It was just they would have been the squad of just.
They would have been a problem.
Just reform squad. They would have been the motherfuckers that came off the bus in the longest yard. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And you knew. And that's the other thing. You knew when they lost, it was actually over. Like it wasn't a, all right, so we know what we need to do. We got to retool, make a couple moves in the offseason. You were like, these head cases, they never coming back from this. And they never did. But boy, I remember that they were scary. They were scary good, dude. That when motherfucking I'm rooting for Kobe for the legacy. I need this nigga to win this championship. I'm you know, they was gonna blame it on Kobe if they lost for sure, because they like, this nigga shoot too much. He threw that alley to Shaq.
Blew apart, bro.
Woo!
The most dominant duo in NBA. Kobe Shaq is more dominant than Pippen MJ. And I don't give a fuck what anybody say. Kobe used to bother me, and God bless the guy, rest in peace. Yeah. Used to bother me. Just, I don't know what it was with Kobe. It was probably the young hater in me and shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But
I think everybody was threatened by how much he was the first nigga that
he was special.
He was the first baby Jordan that made you feel like this nigga might be coming for Jordan's things.
Yeah.
Everybody else, it was cute. It was like, oh, Harold Miner, that's cute. Baby Jordan, Robert Pack, that's cute. Baby Jordan. This nigga Kobe dismantled Scottie Pippen. He dismantled this man in front of everybody. And we was like, wait a minute, this young boy, he hungry. And I still remember them air balls and all that dumb shit he used to do. And anybody else, it would have humbled them, and they would have been like, all right, y'all shoot it. Not Kobe. He's like, third air ball, fuck it. And I said, he different. So,
dog, one of the greatest teams of all time don't have a ring because of him. You know what I mean? And him and Shaq. Like, the Kings should have a ring. You know what I'm saying?
Who'd you say?
The Kings.
Yes, that was the team.
Dog, the Kings had Chris Webber, Mike Bibby, Peja Stojakovic, and that starting five on paper is arguably one of the best you'll ever fucking see. Yes. And snatchers,
you know what?
Dream snatchers.
You just made me think. Another great comparison for Jamal Murray, Mike Bibby.
Ooh,
that was another one of them motherfucking.
He never
really was like you never was going into a game like Mike. Don't worry, Mike Bibby gonna put us on his back. But you also were all, if you was rooting against him, you was always scared this nigga was finna go off
and it was gonna be a long night. Albino killer. Like, bro, you know what I'm saying? Mike Bibby was so fucking nice, he made you forget that Jason Williams was on the Sacramento Kings.
Dog, it's real talk. It Jason Williams would have been starting anywhere else, but Mike Bibby made that shit a not. It wasn't a question. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jason Williams was on all the highlights, every TV show, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, yeah, that's cool. He's coming off the bench.
Yeah,
and
this is our guy of the future. Yep. No, that's it. Fuck, man, I don't got shit else to say. Was fun. I appreciate
I appreciate you hopping on the mic with me, man. I feel like the chat gets too contentious sometimes and we all get hyperbolic and start shitting on each other, making jokes. And
I think we gotta start up a fan chat So if, all right, I'll give you this. Respond to this motherfucking pod with what we've been talking about. If you got better comparisons for Jamal Murray, if the old school flashbacks brought your memory back, or if you's a new school OG and you don't give a fuck about what we was talking about, because all you worried about is your squads now.
Tell us why Jokic ain't the best nigga in the league. I know some of y'all mad right now. Tell us why you really mad. Who really the best then?
Give me your Melly Mel fucking response to what we said today, okay? And we'll get back to you. I ain't got shit else to say. That's the pod. Peace.
Thanks, man.